organising a crime circle which once a week attempted to solve some unsolved crimes. The biography is interesting, as much for what it conceals as the information that it discloses. It was an attempt from the commercial perspective, eminently sensible, to reinvent the author who had adopted the pseudonym of Anne Meredith. Her real name was Lucy Beatrice Mallison, 1899 to 1973, and her list of novels produced under two different names, J. Kilmeny Keith and Anthony Gilbert, already ran into double figures. She had also achieved enough success to merit election to membership of the Detection Club, which she later served as secretary. There is an entertaining account in her memoir, Three a Penny, 1940, also published as by Anne Meredith, of her induction into the club. She became a good friend of fellow club member Cecil John Street, two of whose novels written under the name Miles Burton have been published in the British Library Crime Classic series and dedicated her memoir to him, or at least to his best-known pseudonym, John Road. Detection Club members amuse themselves by giving each other's names to characters in their mysteries, and Agatha Christie duly gave the name Anne Meredith to a woman in Cards on the Table, 1936, who has apparently committed murder and got away with it, only to be suspected of another crime. Anne Meredith novels continued to appear until the early 60s, but their connection with crime fiction diminished and ultimately disappeared altogether, and none of the books made quite such an impression as Portrait of a Murderer. The Anthony Gilbert novels, however, became increasingly popular. The reason for this was because in Murder by Experts, 1936, Gilbert introduced the Cockney solicitor with a gift for solving mysteries, Arthur Crook, who became a popular series character. The Keith pseudonym was abandoned, and with it Keith's amateur sleuth Scott Egerton, perhaps detective fiction's only crime-solving liberal member of parliament. An Arthur Crook novel called The Woman in Red, 1941, was enjoyably filmed in 1945 as My Name is Julia Ross, with a cast including Dame May Whitty, but with Crook removed from the script. The movie was remade in 1987 by Arthur Penn, whose entertaining version, Dead of Winter, starred Mary Steenburgen and Roddy McDowall, and bore even less resemblance to the original. Although Anthony Gilbert novels have been republished from time to time over the years, Anne Meredith's work has long been forgotten. Yet Portrait of a Murderer is notable for its portrayal of character and social comment, and illustrates the truth that, contrary to widespread belief, a good many crime novels written during the golden age of murder between the two world wars were anything but cosy. Martin Edwards, www.martinedwardsbooks.com. Part 1. Christmas Eve. Chapter 1. Adrian. Adrian Gray was born in May 1862 and met his death through violence at the hands of one of his own children at Christmas 1931. The crime was instantaneous and unpremeditated, and the murderer was left staring from the weapon on the table to the dead man in the shadow of the tapestry curtains, not apprehensive, not yet afraid, but incredulous and dumb. Chapter 2. The Greys. At the time of his death, Gray was in his 70th year and had six children living. There had been a seventh who died as a child, and so long ago that the younger ones scarcely remembered his existence. Only when the bitterness and futility of his parenthood pressed upon the aging man with a greater sense of weariness than usual did Gray wonder whether the young Philip might not have grown up to be a solace and companion to him. But these moods occurred seldom, and for the most part he, like his children, forgot the little son who had died 30 years ago. It was his habit at Christmas time to invite all his relatives to spend the season at his lonely house at King's Poplars. The wife of one and the husbands of two of them made the numbers up to 9, while Mrs. Alastair Gray, the dead man's mother, an old lady of 90, brought the party up to 11. There was, in addition, a number of servants, both male and female. As was shown at the inquest, Gray was on good terms with none of his children, while more than one had good reason to wish him out of their path. His eldest son, Richard, was at this time a man of 42, ambitious, dogged, and fierce to achieve his objective, which was place and reputation. He was childless, a fact that greatly distressed and humiliated him, was well known in political life, and had a few years earlier...